The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
And Owen Sheehan is here from Off the Ball. Owen, the Carabao Cup. I mean, we were watching it in my house because we have the Arsenal fan there who was very happy for a time, and then it just all went wrong. I mean, it's just hard to believe, isn't it?
It is, but Arsenal have been here before where a big individual error has cost them in a League Cup final. People will remember the, I presume it was the Carling Cup final back in 2008, potentially, when Lauren Koscielny made a terrible mistake in extra time against Birmingham City in a game that they were expected to win, and Obafemi Martin scored a winner for Birmingham City that afternoon. Very similar vibes yesterday afternoon when Kepa drops that ball, makes a Hames of the cross, and Nico O'Reilly kind of skirts in to score the first of his two goals. Mm-hmm. Just a real sort of moment that can happen in a final, and this Pep Guardiola side have been impeccable, particularly in League Cup finals. And maybe that added aura counted for something yesterday. I don't know. It's not really something you can really cling to, because the goal scorer is still a very young man, Nico O'Reilly.
It was the biggest day
for his career as well.
I was reading about him. He has the Manchester phone code, like the old landline code, tattooed onto it. He's Manchester through. So I'm trying to figure out, does he have an Irish background with O'Reilly as the surname? But he's, I mean, so what a star.
Absolutely. And can play in a multitude of different positions. Had a tough night in the first leg against Real Madrid, but I guess it's the measure of the man that he is that he's bounced back within a couple of weeks to deliver probably the biggest moment in his young career so far. You wouldn't be particularly surprised in the next couple of seasons if he becomes a mainstay of Pep Guardiola or whoever the Manchester City manager's midfield is. He is that good. He's not going to be a fullback forever, I don't suspect. But Arsenal will be kicking themselves with how they allowed that first goal to occur. Mm-hmm. You can ask questions about the selection, about going with your second choice goalkeeper for this final, but they went with the second choice goalkeeper all competition long. Manchester City also went with their second choice goalkeeper. We've seen Queevy and Kelleher as a second choice goalkeeper win this competition at Liverpool in the past. It's not, I don't think, an excuse to be pointing to that decision. It's completely on the shoulders of the goalkeeper himself. An average goalkeeper shouldn't be making that sort of error.
Yeah, it's just, I suppose, do they drop the heads now going into the other three big competitions that they have the ability to win or the scope to win at this point? And just time will tell, I suppose, right?
Well, that's the thing. And I know O'Reilly, speaking afterwards, said that they smell blood now in the title race. It's just so, so important for Arsenal to bounce back after the international break and get all 3 points in their next game. They're at home to Bournemouth in the early kickoff, I think, next Saturday, 2 weeks, because they've got an FA Cup match before that as well. So the FA Cup is against Southampton. If that eases themselves back into club action and they win that game and they win that Bournemouth game, they should be okay. But any doubts that you would have had about Arsenal just get intensified, because I do believe over the past month, while all this hysteria around Arsenal's tactics and their approach to football has dominated the headlines, the undercurrent of Arsenal not playing very well has actually been missed. Mm-hmm. They played very well in the second leg against Bayer Leverkusen, but in that first leg they were very poor. That now infamous game against Chelsea when all the goals were scored from corners, that was actually a really poor Arsenal performance. So they haven't been playing well, so they're there for the taking. Win that game against Bournemouth, though, they steady the ship and you're into mid-April all of a sudden with still that 9-point lead at the top of the table.
Elsewhere then, in the Premier League, we had Spurs beaten again, but we seem to say that every Monday.
Yeah.
And Liverpool.
Liverpool and Arne Slot in a whole world of trouble at this point. You wouldn't be particularly surprised if the club actually parted company with Slot between now and the end of the season, because the Champions League qualification is looking in grave danger. There's a number of different reasons why you'd be particularly concerned, but a couple of them are maybe the form of Aston Villa, who look like they might be back with their performance yesterday as well. Liverpool only a point ahead of Chelsea and 3 points ahead of Brentford at this stage, as well as a resurgent Everton also 3 points behind Liverpool. So it's a bit of a snake pit at the moment there for Liverpool. He wouldn't be particularly confident in them clinching that Champions League spot. So will the club actually act swiftly to ensure that somebody comes in and changes course this season? Time will tell. Maybe he's got enough credit in the bank after last season and that unlikely Premier League runaway win that he might be kept in the job. But I just can't see this Slot project working out long into next season, let's mm-hmm. say.
Now, Kate O'Connor, a mention for Kate, the 25-year-old Irish woman who won bronze in the Indoor World Championships in the pentathlon and said she was disappointed with herself. Yeah. Now, when I hear somebody saying that, I think, right, watch this person for the Olympics.
Oh, 100%. She is one of Ireland's biggest hopes already. We can say that ahead of Los Angeles. So this is 5 consecutive medals across 5 championships for Kate O'Connor. She is a world-class superstar. We don't have too many of them in Irish sport, and that's not hyperbole to suggest that. two things about Kate O'Connor. She's always very hard on herself, and her body often doesn't play ball with her. She often, I think she referred to it as the red line that she was skirting with over the course of the last week. So she had an injury in her knee cartilage a fortnight ago, and then on top of that, had an Achilles tendon issue. Afterwards, she said she also developed a sty in her eye going into the competition yesterday as well. Just what you need. So probably run down on top of everything else. And then a lot of Kate O'Connor's events. And I think we're all getting to know her as a competitor and the sort of peaks and troughs, the ebbs and flows of pentathlon and heptathlon days. The drama that Kate O'Connor tends to be involved in is incredible. Like the high jump, for example, yesterday, she had two failures at 1.81 metres. She needed to nail her final jump, otherwise she wouldn't have medal. I haven't done the maths on that, but she would have been in peril of not winning a medal if she hadn't nailed her third attempt at the high jump. But she did. On the long jump, her first jump was a foul. So her next two, it kind of narrowed the gap for her to actually succeed from there. So she's a clutch performer, is what people have said about Kate O'Connor. Just a brilliant high performance athlete. When the pressure's on, she delivers. And a bronze medal, while being disappointed with herself yesterday, says it all about the measure of the athlete.
Well, good for her. Congratulations to her. Stop being hard on yourself though, Kate.
maybe that's why she is great.
I get that. But, you know, take joy in your win as well.
The thing just about that is that only two Irish athletes, Sonia and Caithríona McKiernan, have won more individual global medals at senior level than O'Connor. And the thing that connects all three of them is that they are unbelievably hard on themselves as well. Any interview you that you listen about Sonia or Caithríona talking about their own careers, exactly of the same ilk.
And her dad is one of her coaches as well, which I always find intriguing. Like, how does that work?
I know.
I never know how it could possibly work. Because you see it in the GAA, you know, on a much lower level in the under-10s and the Bekillens, like.
Boundaries, I think, is the key word there, Claire.
Right, let's go to the GAA now. The Dublin-Galway match, indiscipline, bit of chaos, and Galway took the win.
They did indeed. Very dramatic late win. They've got kind of on the back of all this madness that enveloped the game right before half time, Galway managed to pull through. Red card, obviously crucial for Dublin, although they did manage to score a goal after going down to 14 men at that stage. The big talking point from this game afterwards is Gerard Brennan getting sent to the stands, was up there for the second half of the game. There was a melee involving the players, and Gerard Brennan's take was the players should be able to sort this out themselves, but a Galway mentor was stuck in the middle of it. Gerard Brennan comes up behind him, pulls out his earpiece, gives him a shove. Maybe he just wanted the Galway mentor to just hear loud and clear what Gerard Brennan had to say. Get that earpiece out of your ear. But anyway, Gerard Brennan, he will admit himself afterwards, right to be red carded, right to be sent to the stands. And he was watching on as his team got beaten and subsequently relegated to Division 2. How big a deal is this for Dublin? Well, they have won the All-Ireland coming from the second tier back in 2023. So that's the way they'll spin it. Armagh as well, 2 years ago, managed to win the All-Ireland coming from Division 2. So not the end of the world. The one thing, though, is that when a team is in transition or regenerating, playing at the top table is so important, and the exposure for the players coming through to the top level of talent every February and March is so important. So I think Dublin would really, really prefer to be playing in Division 1 next season, but that's not going to be the case.
You wanted to mention the match between Wexford and Westmeath at the weekend as well, Owen.
This is extraordinary. We flagged this on Friday, that Wexford versus Westmeath was a promotion showdown. Down were already promoted to Division 2, and the winner of this Wexford versus Westmeath game was also going to go up and join them. It looked like Westmeath were going to be the team returning to the second flight in the National League, but this long ball gets launched in from a Wexford player. A goal effort is saved brilliantly by the Westmeath goalkeeper, and the ball falls to substitute Sean Ryan, who first time volleys it into the back of the net with about six seconds remaining, and that's the end of the game. Wexford take the win against Westmeath and they get promoted. This footage has already been set to Martin Tyler's commentary of Sergio Aguero's goal at the end of the 2012 Premier League season when they dramatically took the title from Manchester United. It was just a special piece of football and drama, and the sort of mini pitch invasion that happened beforehand. Wexford getting promoted to Division 2 is a brilliant story in its own right, but the way in which they did it was just extraordinary.
And we should also mention as well, there was tribute paid at the Galway Dublin match to Michael Lester, the former RTE Sunday game presenter, who I knew over my time in RTE, just a really decent man, a gentleman.
Oh, so easy to work with. Like, we would have had him on and off the ball quite a bit post his Sunday game years. He would have come in and done the paper review. I worked with him for a documentary about the 1996 brawl a few years ago as well. And everybody's saying the same thing today, but it's worth reiterating again, the most easygoing gentleman you could ever have met. And really important as well to cultivating an iconic Irish media panel. Uh-huh. Like, and it goes beyond sport. Obviously, you have the football panel in Dunphy Brady Giles, but Broly O'Rourke Spillane is absolutely of that level as well. Mm-hmm. And the presenter, Alla Bill O'Herlihy, in his pomp, who managed to sit back when he needed to sit back and interject and almost rib his panellists in the right way and get them wound up in the right way, was a key part of what I would say his genius was. And look, he's more than just a GEA as well. One thing you always got from chatting to Michael was that he was a complete petrol head as well. Motorsport was his love, really. And he wasn't a bad driver, not a bad race car driver in his day either. So,
and everything you say about his presenting skills, I think key to it was he made it look easy.
Yes.
Like that's the knack, isn't it? You are going to Prague this week, are you?
We are indeed. There's a few of us going over for Off the Ball. We're going to be broadcasting live on Wednesday night, Thursday night and Friday night. And hopefully the Friday night one won't be too funereal this week. The Wednesday one will certainly be buzzing and exciting. There's going to be thousands and thousands of Irish making the same journey as us. Thousands of Irish without tickets, I'm sure, for the game on Thursday night as well. But it's going to be, hopefully, the biggest thing that's ever happened.
Well, listen, fingers crossed. But it is a big ask because you need success on Thursday and success again next week, right?
Yes, next Tuesday.
Yeah. Which would mark the most successful run that we've had in many, many, many years. It's not impossible, of course, but it is a hill to climb.
It is. Like, if you're doing a percentage chance on it, Ireland would probably be ticking below the 50% if we're looking at proper expectations, because, as you say, two games, one of them away from home and then the second one against a team that'll be ranked a bit higher than Ireland, presuming Denmark beat Macedonia. So it is a hill to climb, and the momentum from November doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. That was magnificent, but that counts for nothing. The one thing, though, is that November seems to have put Troy Parrott on a rocket, which he hasn't got off form-wise since then. He's been banging in the goals in Europe and domestically for AZ Alkmaar, and when he got off that pitch fully fit looking yesterday afternoon, I think every Irish football fan breathed a sigh of relief. So for Czechia, there had been some concerns about some of their main players. One of their better players is Pavel Sulc. He had been injured for the last number of weeks for Lyon, but he played at the weekend and he scored at the weekend. So Czechia looking in greater health than they were, say, a week ago. This is going to be an almighty task on Thursday, but the Czechs might just have a little bit of hometown nerves as well.
Oh, and a big week for Ireland and a big week for Off the Ball. We look forward to hearing you from there, and I hope you get to enjoy the beer and the goulash at some point as well.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.